Hi, this is Chris Bowen. Welcome to the screencast. This is a very brief introduction to the Windows Phone 7 platform and the developer story for creating applications on it. It's based on a session we gave as part of our Northeast MSDN Roadshow series, and you can find the resources for that on the page that hosts the screencast. If you have any questions, email me at cbowen@microsoft.com or connect through my blog. Let's begin by taking a look at the Windows Phone 7 device and the user interface. You can see here, this is the home screen that you'll see. It's called a glanceable interface. And the idea is that it's going to allow you to go in and define what the most important things are for you. You can define if you care the most about certain people or using certain applications or email or whatever it's important to you. You can modify that and drag these tiles around, add new tiles, and make it so that you can just take a look at your phone and get a quick update of what's going on in your life. Now, the things that you see and the fonts and the appearances that you see in the Windows Phone 7 device is inspired or driven by what's called the Metro Design Language. And this was really derived by taking inspiration from how public transportation systems around the world use various fonts and designs and imagery to be very clear about providing the information that you need. So again, you can take a quick look at your Windows Phone 7 device, and with these very clear fonts and presentation styles, get what you need and then move on with what you're trying to do. Building upon that Metro design language and extending the idea of having that easy-to-use, glanceable interface is this concept of hubs, another core user interface feature of the Windows Phone 7 device. And the idea is that it gives you one place that you can go to find related information. It's basically an integrated experience for a variety of different things in the Windows Phone 7 system. For example, you see music and video collected together into one place. And as you flick back and forth by touching the screen, you can scroll across this horizontal view of different kinds of information that's related. So music, videos, podcasts, and you can go left and right and see the things organized in different ways and get to what you need very quickly. Now, this extends to a number of other hubs that we have, people, office pictures, the marketplace, and games. You can go to any of these hubs and find, again, information brought together to make it easier to find, from the people that you know to pictures and updates from social media circles, things like that, the games that you may have access to or want updates about. You can go to each of these different hubs and get at that stuff very quickly. So until you actually have one of these devices in your hands that you can work with and get a feel for how the user interface works, I'd recommend that you check out windowsphone7.com, which has a series of some pretty good demonstrations of the various features of the Windows Phone platform. You can walk through and get a feel for how the various hubs work, how email works, how you can get updates from the people that you know, or type in things through an on-screen keyboard and search for stuff. All these different scenarios you can walk through on that site. So I think it'll give you a good background in terms of understanding the capabilities and the look and feel of the Windows Phone 7 device before we move on and talk about the developer story. If you'd like to learn more about the UI and other features beyond checking out the Windows Phone 7 site, I'd recommend that you check out some of the resources I have for you at the end of the screencast. But for now, let's focus our attention on the developer story. There are two ways to create applications for the Windows Phone 7. The first is with Silverlight, and you may have heard of or are working with Silverlight today. It allows you to create user interfaces very effectively by composing together controls and declaring your user interface using what's called XAML, or Extensible Application Markup Language, which supports an event-driven way of composing an application. And you can write .NET code to actually automate and respond to the interactions with the user interface. Now, this includes a set of controls that are already themed using that Metro design language. So you can be very productive quickly, drop some controls on, whether you're using Visual Studio or whether you're using the expression set of products, which I will show you in just a little while, by the way. But if you're using these Metro theme controls, then the applications that you're creating with Silverlight will already have a familiar feel, a familiar look and feel for the users that may be using your application and are used to the way the rest of the Windows Phone device works. Now, that said, you don't have to do it that way. Silverlight affords you great flexibility in the design that you choose. But out of the box, you will be able to get up to speed and be very productive using the same Silverlight that we can use today for web scenarios. The other way to create applications is using XNA. And this is our platform for creating games in the .NET world. And so XNA has been used for several years now, and it can be used to create applications for the Xbox 360, for Windows, and for Zune, and now for the Windows Phone 7 device. And it really has a lot of abstractions to help you create applications and games. Actually, I should point out that you don't have to create games using XNA, but it is traditionally what it's used for. It does have great access to support for both 2D and 3D rendering. So if you need higher performance or higher capabilities in terms of getting into more advanced scenarios or getting into 3D kinds of rendering, then XNA might be the choice that you want to make when you're looking to create an application for the Windows Phone 7 device. Now, whether you choose XNA or Silverlight to create your applications, you can leverage a core set of common capabilities in your applications. From software support, from .NET, to isolated storage and Link on the data side, and calling out to cloud services, to support for input and hardware features like touch or accelerometer. It's the consistency of the Windows Phone 7 platform that's going to let you rely on these features without having to wonder if the feature is available from one device to the next. So to get the tools for developing Windows Phone applications, just go to developer.windowsphone.com. And there's one download that you need there. As of this recording, it's the April refresh tooling, and when you install that, you'll get Visual Studio 2010 Express for Windows Phone, and that will include templates and tools to help you write applications for the phone, both in XNA and in Silverlight. And if you already have another version of Visual Studio 2010 installed, this will extend that. This will add in those very same templates to that installation for you. I'll also show you the use of Expression Blend for and the plugin for Windows Phone development to help create applications using the Expression Blend environment as well. So with that, let's dive right into some demonstrations of these tools and create an application. So let's begin by creating an application through Expression Blend 4. I currently have the release candidate installed and have on top of that installed some additional tooling for Windows Phone that will give templates and other tools that we can use for creating Silverlight applications for the Windows Phone. So now I can say New Project, and on the Windows Phone tab or node, we'll pick the basic Windows Phone application here and say OK. At this point, it's going to bring up the new project. I'm going to resize this so we can see it a little better. And already you can tell that this design surface has been customized to show us what an application would look like inside a Windows Phone 7 device. And I can go ahead and start using the features of Expression to create the application. So if I go through and choose various controls to add in from the button here, I'll stick to a button. We'll keep it very simple. Drag and drop, actually start to draw my control onto the page, you can see that it already has that Metro look and feel that I mentioned earlier. Both the fonts and the styling of the controls will look consistent with the rest of the UI that the Windows Phone 7 device offers. So I can go through and add various things. Again, I'm not going to get terribly complex with what I'm doing here. Text block, and you can see you've got the various design helping features of Expression here to guide you through. And if you want to change colors and such, you can do that. In fact, why don't we do that right now? We can go ahead and change this perhaps to a gradient. And sure, that's good enough. And you can go ahead and keep adding features as you wish. You can use the data binding properties in Expression Blend. Really some great stuff that will help you to create really good applications. I'm not going to show that stuff. I'm just going to keep it basic, and I'll create a new storyboard, actually. And this will help me to record interactions within my environment. And so I'm going to go ahead and say OK, and we'll take that. And what I can do is work with things in the environment. So let me go into 1 second as an offset, and then make a change over here to the button itself. And so what do we want to do? We can rotate this around, I'll say here. And we'll do that, and then at the second, we can rotate it back, or keep rotating it. There are no rules here. And at 3 seconds, perhaps we could apply a scale transform to it, or whatever, but we'll just rotate it back to where it was approximately. And that's good enough, so I can actually hit stop there. And when the button is clicked, I can wire up an event to run that storyboard which will animate the button there. So I'm now in the code behind for that XAML page, again, extensible application markup language. So I can go through here and just write a little bit of code. I think it was called storyboard one. And we'll just say dot begin. And that's good enough. If we go back to the page, you can see this is the layout. That page I was just on was the code that would help drive the user interface elements that I'm laying out on this page. So now I can actually run the application. When I run it, it's going to ask me if I want to use the Windows Phone emulator, which is part of the developer tools that you can download, again, from the site I mentioned earlier. If you happen to have a device, you can use that as well and connect to that. But I will use the emulator here. So say OK. It's going to bring up the emulator right here and launch the application to the emulation environment. So you can see here this amazingly beautiful application running for us. And I can click on the button, and sure enough, there it goes, spinning around over the course of 3 or 4 seconds. It's sure to be fantastic for your users to use. And that's all well and good. So, of course, this is the most basic of examples that you could do in Expression Blend, but it gives you an idea that there are some tools in here that are very well suited for quickly laying out and defining a rich interface for your applications. Now, if you look at the top left-hand corner here, you can see that the project view for the application has some familiar things that, familiar for you if you're working with Visual Studio solutions and projects. They are, in fact, the same project files. So there's a CS project file here, there's a .sln file here, here's the CS file and XAML files. All of these are exactly the same kinds of things that you would use within Visual Studio. In fact, if you right-click here, you can say Edit in Visual Studio. We'll do that. And that's going to bring up my installation in Visual Studio. In my case, I have the Ultimate Edition running. Brings up Visual Studio, and sure enough, I can load the XAML page just like I would with any other kind of Silverlight application. And here I can see I have side-by-side view of both the design surface and the XAML that is used to create that surface. And just like I did in Expression Blend, I can use the toolbox and go through and add different things to that surface. I don't know what we'll want to add, perhaps an ellipse, and then we can just go ahead and maybe assign a fill to this. This looks great. This is going to be really a fantastic application. So good enough. A green ellipse. Nah. Let's use a gradient here, and we'll make that a gradient, and some kind of blue here at that stop. There we go. Okay. So now that we have an ellipse, I think our work here is complete. We can actually hit run, just like we did before in Expression Blend. If I hit run here, we're going to again bring up the emulator, Windows Phone emulator, and send the application to that emulation environment. You can see here that when it comes up, we'll have all the changes that I just made from that original application. There it is. So the original application with the button and my new ellipse is intact. Click the button, there goes the rotation, and that's all fantastic. So this is the developer side of things. So we'll have access to the developer story here. I can set my breakpoints, work through different scenarios in Visual Studio than I would for more of the design story in Expression Blend. But now that I'm done in Visual Studio, I can go ahead and stop this, and we'll go back to Expression Blend. And now that we're back in Expression Blend, you can see that I've been prompted to that the fact that there's been a change to my CS project file. It's been modified outside of Blend, in fact, by Visual Studio. Do I want to reload that? Sure. And also, it noticed that the XAML page that I'm working on right now has been modified as well. Do I want to reload that? Sure. And when you do that, I'll get the updated interface that was designed in Visual Studio. Let me resize that. And now we can see we have exactly the changes that the developer made through Visual Studio are now reflected back in this design surface in Expression Blend. So we've completed the cycle. We've shared assets and we've shared the design and the code files between Expression Blend 4 and Visual Studio 2010 to help to create a Windows Phone 7 application. So now that we've seen a very basic example of using both Expression Blend 4 and Visual Studio 2010 to create a Windows Phone 7 application, and a little bit about the designer and developer experience, that using these applications can provide. I want to give you a few more tips and pointers on things that you'll encounter as a developer creating Windows Phone 7 applications. So first of all, I want to bring the emulator back up and just mention a few things about this. There's a toolbar on the right-hand side that will let you do various things with the emulator. For example, you could change the orientation of it from portrait to landscape and test various behaviors of your application in those modes. You can also modify the size and some other settings of the device, of the emulator. But you can also see, if you try to close the emulator, it's going to warn you that if you're going to be doing multiple runs and builds and deploys of an application, it's actually better to keep it running instead of closing it each time. So you actually click no, keep it around, because each time you load the emulator, it's going to have to reload the entire emulation environment, and that can take some time. And so if you just keep it up and running, then each time you build and deploy the application, you're just sending the application to the already running emulator. The other thing to point out, if we go back into Visual Studio, that when you install the developer tools and go to create a new project, that you'll have access to both the Silverlight options here. So Silverlight for Windows Phone, and you'll see a few different options here from creating a basic phone application, just like we did before from the expression side, and a list application, which you can see on the right-hand side gives you a simple list mechanic built into it that you can then extend. But if you want to try your hand at creating an XNA application, whether it's a game or other kind of application, go to XNA Game Studio 4, and then choose from these templates. There's the Windows Phone game here, which you can just launch, and then get into creating an XNA-based application. For that, I would recommend that you go to creators.xna.com, which is essentially the home site for developers creating applications using XNA. Again, that's creators.xna.com, and there's a lot of great tutorials and other ways that will help to teach you how to use XNA, and then how to apply that to creating applications for the Windows Phone environment. So with that very brief overview of working with and creating applications for the Windows Phone 7 device, I recommend that you go to windowsphone7.com, again, to learn more about the various features and the user interface for the Windows Phone 7 device. Also, get the tools. Get the developer tools from developer.windowsphone.com, and you'll be able to write applications in Silverlight and XNA using the emulator. Also, if you go to channel9.msdn.com/learn, there's a whole set of various training courses that you can take. One of them is for Windows Phone 7 development. So if you go to that link, you can access some screencasts and resources and labs to help you learn about the various aspects of creating applications for the platform. Also, to learn more about Silverlight, silverlight.net, and to learn more about XNA, go to creators.xna.com. And finally, there's some other videos of some sessions that were given as part of the MIX conference earlier this year that go into a lot more depth into various areas, from design to the platform and architecture to the development story as well, far beyond what I could cover in this short screencast. So if you go to videos.visitmix.com, you can access all of those resources for free, whether or not you went to MIX as an attendee or not. And with that, thanks for taking the time to watch this screencast. If you have any questions, email me at cbowen@microsoft.com, or you can contact me through my blog at blogs.msdn.com/cbowen. Thanks again.